Hi, this is Jonathan Armstrong. I'm speaking to you live from the UK, and thanks for joining us again for one of our Tech Law 10 podcasts. Eric's with me. Eric, why don't you introduce yourself?
And yes, this is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco. Both Jonathan and I are with the international law firm Duane Morris, and we try to bring you these weekly podcasts on fast-breaking issues where the law and technology meet. Jonathan?
This week, I know that you've been looking at issues around cybersecurity and the U.S. military. What have they been up to?
Yes, I'm glad you asked the question. The Defense Department here has just declared that our military cyber command is fully operational. And why is that important, potentially? Well, the cyber command here is tasked with protecting approximately 15,000 military computer networks from attacks and intrusion. And as explained by Deputy Defense Secretary William Lynn, more than 100 foreign intelligence organizations are hell-bent on infiltrating U.S. military networks. And apparently some of them already have the ability to interfere with the U.S. information infrastructure. So we can see how this is an important context to be dealing in. It was in this setting that the Cyber Command was created in 2009, and now we're told it is fully operational. Now, at least at first blush from looking at this, press reports, it sounds more in the nature of defensive protection. I'm interested from you, Tom, what you've looked into whether governments are sort of getting on the offensive when it comes to this area.
Yeah, there are certainly rumors about it. I know that the Chinese government, for example, has been suggested that they have an offensive cyber capability. And I know I was up in Estonia a couple of years ago. Estonia had a very substantial cyber attack. Estonia are proponents of e-government, so a lot of their cabinet office materials went walkabout. I know that they suspected one of their neighbors, and one of the senior officials that I was speaking to in the Estonian government said he had some pretty substantial evidence that one of their neighbors was involved. So I think that many of the, let's say, more totalitarian states are suspected of having offensive capability. I think that's a tough call for some of the more liberal states or the more democratic states in some respects, because, of course, we, like you, have laws that prohibit people hacking into systems, for example. So any foreign government that was engaged in offensive measures is likely committing criminal offenses, and that's a tough call, I guess, for a lot of governments to make.
Here in the United States, we have the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act as an example, and on the one hand, you have laws being enacted designed to prevent certain types of activities, but then what if surreptitiously the government is actually on its own potentially engaging in those very prohibited activities. I can't comment on whether our government is doing that or not. I have no idea. Now, was there something that you wanted to tell us in terms of what's happening with the Royal Navy?
Yes, we've had a number of significant attacks over here in Europe. The Royal Navy is the latest. They were hacked into by a Romanian hacker who seems to have just done it just for fun, so he says. But a lot of these attacks combined as caused the European Commission to try and take action. So there's a whole raft of new e-commerce legislation coming in May next year, May 2011. That's going to be binding on all of the 27 EU member states. And one of the provisions that we're just working through at the moment, and I was at meetings with the UK government on this week, is the role of INISA. Now, INISA is an odd organization. It's effectively the European Security Agency that's specifically looking at cyber issues. And surprisingly, Eric, without casting stones at anybody, if you were thinking of the most secure nation in Europe to host this agency, perhaps Greece wouldn't automatically spring to the front of your mind. But that's where this new agency is. And one of the things that I think is significant in the proposals is the UK government is considering an asset log for critical national infrastructure. So anybody, either private or public sector, who had a bit of internet-related kit that was essential to the UK infrastructure would have to log that piece of kit with a government agency, the communications regulator. And then any incident that affected that kit would be reported to ENISA in Greece. And that seems to me to be a very significant development. And I'm not sure that's in the best interest of security. It seems to me that putting all of your eggs in one basket, for example, just invites the egg thief to come and get them and makes it easier. And if I were a Romanian hacker and I knew that there was this great prize of an infrastructure log, wouldn't I just go for that?
It's interesting. You know, once upon a time we thought about, you know, warfare and combat as having to do with, you know, bullets, missiles, you know, bombs raining down. And now, you know, we're dealing with, you know, information infrastructure systems. And clearly, you know, if an attack is successful, it can have an incredibly wide-ranging and devastating effect. And if mission-critical systems, you know, grind to a halt, those that are systems that, you know, have to do with, you know, nuclear power plants and nuclear weapons and military aircraft and the like, you can imagine when the lights go off, there could be quite a problem. So, you know, my hope is that when our government here, we're sort of circling back, but when we're told that our military cyber command is fully operational, you know, we hope the expression good enough for government work does not apply. And hopefully what's being employed is state of the art, that it will develop over time to basically combat the forces of evil that do not rest and that constantly seek new and different ways to wreak havoc for their own advantage. What are your thoughts about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think it obviously impacts on businesses as well, because quite often they're the unintended victims of cyber attacks, particularly when it's nation against nation. I think whenever there's unrest in the world, it's mirrored on the internet within about 30 minutes now. Yeah. So obviously it has a business impact as well, and I think your sentiments couldn't be better, Sarah. I guess that's roughly all we've got time for this week. We always try and keep to absolutely 10 minutes. We're grateful for those of you who've suggested comments for us to cover. Please do keep them coming to us. You can listen to our podcasts either online via duanemorris.com or on iTunes, and you can get in touch with us via email. We're going to give you the address in a minute, or via LinkedIn or Twitter. Eric, you're a fan of Facebook. My email address is jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. And Eric?
And that's right. And Jonathan's correct. We're now competing with the Beatles, the Fab Four, on iTunes. But yes, I'm Eric Sinrod, EJ Sinrod, SINROD, at duanemorris.com, DUANEMorris.com. So thank you for joining us this week. We'll come back at you next week, hopefully with a hot topic. And everybody have a good, at least here in the United States, have a good Thanksgiving holiday next week. Thank you.
Happy holidays.